This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, all healthcare institutions exist as part of a larger community, and as such, they have the responsibility to become an active partner in pursuing the health and well-being of the community it serves. Well, Upstate Medical University is no different, and here with more on some of the ways the university intersects with the Central New York community is Mozart Guerrier. He's a social worker and a community engagement specialist for the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and he also serves as the Healthy Neighbors Partnership Coordinator. And Maxine Thompson, she's Assistant Vice President in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Maxine, tell us about Upstate Medical University and the way it's actively engaged with the Central New York community.
Okay.
Tell us about the different ways.
I'd be happy to. Upstate has a long-standing history of being involved and a part of the community, particularly as it relates to the students. I'm a social worker by background as well, and we've always had a wonderful working relationship with Syracuse University. We've been a field placement site for many of their students who want to learn how to engage in a medical setting. We've worked very, very closely with a number of community agencies, especially those that serve the needs of our patients, whether they've been hospitalized or they're coming in as outpatients. So we've always had wonderful working relationships with many of the nonprofits and serving different segments of the population. We also are the primary care provider for the Onondaga Nation. So our reach is very, very broad. It's not just this immediate community of Syracuse proper, but we actually have a very strong presence at the Onondaga Nation. We've also, over the years, fostered some really good working relationships with the Urban Pastors Coalition, trying to really have a presence and connection with the urban residents here. We have a very strong connection with what we're calling the Healthcare Initiatives for Community Inclusion, which is really a partnership that works with many of the refugees and immigrants into our community. So we're very proud of that relationship as well. We have a very, very good working relationship with La Liga, which works with the largely Hispanic community, as well as with partners such as Synergy, where we're working with youth. We're even working in the elementary schools. We have our students are very actively involved in working with young people, trying to provide tutoring services and being good role models. We've sort of adopted Martin Luther King School for many, many years. So being involved with the community is really nothing new for Upstate. It's part of our social responsibility and something that we're very pleased and proud. Not only our employees are involved, but our students is something as part of our mission.
Talking about the mission, what exactly is the mission of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion?
Okay. The Office of Diversity and Inclusion is primarily in place around workforce initiatives. We want to make sure that our workplace is reflective of the communities that we serve. So that means that we put a particular emphasis on diversity, wanting to make sure that we have the various ethnicities represented here, people from various religious backgrounds, people with disabilities, people with veteran status. We want our workforce to mirror the communities that we're here to serve. So that's very important. That's one of the important roles that we do have is looking at the workforce. We're also concerned about the students, making sure that they have suitable role models that they identify with. We recognize that the future, as the demographics are changing, the workforce and our physicians of the future are going to look different than what they currently look like now. So we want to be able to nurture them, bring them in, give them appropriate role models, and keep them on track. So that's a piece of what my office does.
So you've really, you've outlined very, mm-hmm. very eloquently a lot of different initiatives that mm-hmm. Upstate has been engaged in, mm-hmm. in a broad sense in terms mm-hmm. of really interacting with the larger community. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing called the Upstate's Health Advocacy Program, which mm-hmm. I'm particularly interested in
okay.
because it's a way, actually, that Mozart, I know, is a spinoff. Your program's a spinoff of that. And I want to talk more about that. What is this concept of a health advocacy program? What is that?
Okay. Well, let me back it up just a little bit.
Sure.
What we wanted to do, because we have such a rich history of community involvement, thought that we needed to do a better job with our closest neighbors, which happens to be Pioneer Homes, part of the Syracuse Housing Authority. And an interesting fact is that Pioneer Homes is one of the first public housing units in the nation. So, and they're right in our backyard, or we're in their backyard, so to speak, because they were there first. So we've kind of felt and have felt for years that we should be better neighbors and we should be more engaged with the residents of the Pioneer Homes and Syracuse Housing Authority.
And they've been around a long time. Aren't they celebrating something like a 25th anniversary or
actually
something?
Actually, a 75.
75?
They've been here for
oh,
75
my.
Years.
My, my, my.
Yes, the oldest public housing unit in the nation.
Wow.
So it is a big deal. And many of the residents have been there, you know, spent their entire lives living in this particular housing authority. So there's going to be a really big gala coming up on April 4th. It's going to be huge, you know, at the Ahn Center to really celebrate the longevity of the housing authority, but also to recognize many of the incredible talents that have come up through public housing.
So tell us about the advocacy program, though.
So, so what we wanted to do was as part of our reaching out and being connected with Pioneer Homes is we went out there. You know, we actually hired Mozart as our community engagement specialist, and this came out as a result of the Upstate Leadership Academy. They actually did a needs assessment. They did some of the groundwork for us, did a needs assessment, identified some issues that the residents themselves felt were very important and ways that they would like to see the relationship with Upstate develop. And so then we took that to the next logical step. We created a real proposal, including a job description and what this person would do and what we envisioned the person would go out into the community to implement. And it got supported through the Upstate administration and funded. And so we actually hired somebody that was a stellar hire, uniquely qualified to lead this initiative.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Maxine Thompson and Mozart Gurrier, and we are talking about Upstate's health advocacy program. And Mozart, that's the segue right into you. You are the great new hire.
He is.
Why are you here? What are you doing? And tell us about your program.
So the Resident Health Advocate Program is based on a model out of Boston University. They've been working with families and people that live in public housing for the last 10 years, sponsored by the Center for Disease Control, the federal government. And so we adopted their model and became affiliates with them. And the basic ideal is that the folks that live in public housing, if we utilize their leadership skills and their leadership abilities and their connections in the community, that we might have a better chance at preventing some diseases that can be managed by lifestyle choices, whether it be exercise or nutrition, or whether it be information. And so the Resident Health Advocate Program allows residents to learn amongst residents that already live there, as opposed to healthcare professionals. The healthcare professionals actually act as advisors, and we had a number of faculty members, as well as Maxine, as well as folks from the community, who trained the residents to become resident health advocates so they can go out and train their neighbors.
That's fascinating. It's a great concept. So in other words, your neighbors become informed, mm-hmm. and you're experts, so to speak, and then they can help you learn how to take better care of yourself. So then you can basically forestall the possibility of developing long-term chronic diseases and that kind of thing. So diet, nutrition, exercise, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And also community concerns. So sometimes there's issues of safety, and sometimes there's issues of, you know, family support. And so the community health workers or resident health advocates are out in the community really listening and paying attention. And so I think that has been the benefit of the program, is that we get to sit down with people and listen to what they have to say about what their day-to-day lives are, and see if we can provide structures that allow them to live better lives.
So in your experience, I mean, this is a Boston University model. What is there research, Maxine? Is there something that supports the use of a resident health advocate?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We looked at a lot of the literature, and the research has really demonstrated and shown us that residents of government-sponsored housing units typically have shown a much higher incidence and rates of poor health outcomes based on some of these chronic disease entities that you've already mentioned, whether it's hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, dental disease. These are things that do have some kind of a preventive model to it. And so the research has shown that tapping into the residents themselves has been very effective in intervening and addressing some of these healthcare disparities. The residents have been very successful in developing rapport and the relationships with their peers. And so they can do things that professionals can't just because we don't have the ability to kind of, you know, there's a trust factor that still has to be overcome.
And there's also resource, you know, limitation in resources. But I think your point is very well taken, that you'd be much more apt to take it from your neighbor and friend than a strange person coming in who doesn't really know you, the community, and all of that.
Right, right. So it's a win-win kind of situation because it does afford us the ability to get to know our neighbors better. One of the things that one of his techniques has been to really go on a listening tour. You know, he has been in the neighborhood. He has knocked on the doors. He has spoken to every single resident.
Wow.
He has sat in their living rooms. They talked to him one-on-one. So we've gotten, you know, we've got real, legitimate, validated areas of concern that we're able to go in and, you know, through the health residents advocates, be able to develop interventions that, again, are resident driven. We're not trying to come in and impose our values on them. We're looking at what they're identifying as issues of concern,
their needs,
and using it in a method that is more acceptable and appropriate, you know, given the nature of the setting.
So Mozart, in your listening tour, what did you find? What do you think the major challenges that these residents face or in terms of their health concerns?
I think many of the challenges that they face are the same challenges that all Americans face, is managing diet, is finding time to exercise and all these types of things, managing life, you know, and managing, you know, taking care of yourself. And so the resident health advocates, as well as the Tenant Association, as well as Syracuse Housing Authority, which has been an incredible partner, act as kind of facilitators of making sure everything works smoothly and that it's actually a great neighborhood where having an academic medical center as your neighbor is the best possible neighbor you might have.
So they can access resources and stuff through the medical center. I'm wondering, does something like, do they also offer, let's say, within the housing, an exercise room, a place where people can go and really make use of that opportunity for exercise?
Yeah, we've collaborated with the YMCA before, and we've hosted Zumba classes there.
Wow.
And we actually had an opening of our internship element of the Resident Health Advocate Program. The YMCA provided us with a number of free passes for families so that they could go and exercise together at the downtown YMCA.
So overall, how long have you been involved yourself?
About a year.
So in this year, what have you seen as the greatest stumbling blocks or the greatest achievements?
I think the greatest stumbling block is there being so many great ideas, honestly, and how to kind of manage all those great ideas and organize them in a way that really works. And I think one of the greatest gifts has been that we found a lot of people, both at Upstate in terms of folks from the HR department, as well as our clinical staff, as well as our academic staff, as well as people in Pioneer Homes who have really stepped up to the plate and said that they want to be leaders. And so leaders and collaborators have been popping up from the county to Upstate to all across the community. And so it's really been exciting to have so many opportunities to make a difference.
And I can't emphasize enough that this truly is a partnership. That's one of the things that I think has been the most exciting piece, that it has, you know, we started off not, as I mentioned earlier, not wanting to impose, but really to be a partner. And it's just been wonderful to see the relationships develop. And as Mozart said, the ideas just keep percolating. One of my worries is not being able to sustain it. I really worry about, you know, what happens if Mozart leaves.
Well, you're not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. But the support from this organization has just been incredible. So I really don't worry too much about the sustainability. I think we've identified such a number of people that are so energized and excited about this new relationship that we're not going to have any shortage of people willing to step up to the plate.
Well, this is wonderful news and a wonderful program. I want to thank you both so much for coming in. My guests have been Mozart Gurrier. He's a social worker and community engagement specialist for the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and Maxine Thompson. She's assistant vice president in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion at Upstate Medical University. Thanks again for for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.